So we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, April 8th, 2013, at 6 p.m. Would you please take a moment and review the minutes from our March 11th meeting, 2013? And I'd just like to mention, we did change some dates in there so they would correspond with the next meeting date. You'll notice in most of these items here, 2, 3, 4, and so forth, it says April 29th. That's the next time we're going to be meeting to discuss some of these issues. So that's the only thing that we changed.
Well, that's what I said. It was going to be brought to regular board meeting some of the items, but I didn't see them on the agenda.
Yeah. We're still, those are still being sent.
Okay.
So other than that, any changes to the minutes? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item. That's 2013-14 copy paper bid results on February 21st. This is something we do annually. February 21st, we posted a bid for copy paper for next year. We opened those bids on March 7th. Four vendors submitted bids. The low price was actually a really a nice price considering where it's been at the past couple of years. It's $26.20 versus $28.45 what we're paying this year for estimated savings of $4,100 over the next year. So the plan is to take this to the board for discussion on April 29th and then to the board for approval on May 13th. And as I stated earlier, this is something that we do annually in the springtime. Any questions?
That was the paper?
How was the paper?
That was the paper.
That was the paper bid, correct.
But the, we didn't take, there were, the lowest one was an alternate.
Yeah, we test, when we get paper and we always sort of test drive it to see how it goes, and that one really wasn't holding up the way we would like it. That's why we went to the one that we've been using the past couple of years is Cattle's.
We're saying green friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing we've been getting, I believe, the past couple of years. So it is does represent a savings for us. Okay, any other questions then? Then Mike is up. He'll be presenting the elementary LMC and classroom laptop refresh.
Okay, this has a couple different components to it. The LMCs in the elementary schools to refresh the labs would be due for refresh. Currently have about 30 desktops in each lab, in each library for the elementaries, and we haven't really done anything with those since 2005. So as part of the natural refresh cycle, the labs need to be refreshed, the technology that needs to be refreshed. What this recommendation will do is not only refresh the library's technology, but it will also bring a one-to-one from fourth to eighth grades in the district. Increased assessments online. MAP is something we do three times a year. That's about 4 weeks per session. It's about 12 weeks out of the year we do MAP. COGATS is online now, and more importantly, in 14-15, the PARC assessment will be coming, and that's the replacement for the ISAT. So that is completely online assessment, and that's about 8 to 9 hours during two different sessions during the year. So just from a practical standpoint, we're going to need more equipment to be able to satisfy that need. As well as classroom instruction. Even after adding the laptops we added last year, what I consistently hear is we need more to be able to do the kind of work that we want to do here. So, and looking at that, the breakdown here would be to purchase another 1,650 laptops for the elementaries, as well as 150 laptops for the LMCs, the library media centers. The 150 would equal out to 38. Laptops per LMC. This would give them some additional flexibility rather than going with the old desktop model. They'd be able to move these around, put them wherever they want, use them for large group instruction, split them up for smaller group instruction. So it would give them that flexibility while freeing up a good deal of space within the libraries as well. So 150 of those would go towards the libraries and the elementaries. 1,650 would then go into the classrooms in the grade schools. So it is an effort to also decentralize the technology that we have currently in the district and give more access within the classrooms, which has been a goal of mine. So the breakdown would look something like this. In addition to the laptops, there was also a request for 150 iPads that would kind of round out the fleet that we currently have. We have somewhere around 300 iPads that are used in Gen Ed, so we can raise the fleet to about 450. To give a blend within the classrooms as well, the PC technology as well as some Apple technology. At kindergarten, we'd be looking at 6 laptops and 6 iPads. It's a total of 12 devices at kindergarten. That would be across all sections as well. So each classroom would get this allotment. First grade, you'd have 8 laptops and 6 iPads. Second and third grade would be 10 laptops and 3 iPads per section. As well as fourth and fifth, we'd have 30 laptops and 3 iPads. Gifted services would receive 20 laptops and 3 iPads for a total of 23 devices in those classrooms. So this would fulfill a one-to-one at our fourth and fifth grade grades at the grade schools. Now, last year, we purchased 550 laptops that would have been used in the grade schools this year. We would take that 550, move those over to Hadley. Hadley already has 550 netbooks. That would give them a total of 1,100 devices that will be used for student use, portable devices that they have available to them. What that would do for us, I mean, currently we have about 1,100 laptops at Hadley. We've also got the LMC and the ArtTech labs that we proposed at the last finance meeting. That would be an additional 32. There would be 120 iPads in the LMC alone. There's also 30 desktops at the Hadley Applied Tech Lab, as well as 15 for the Hadley Music. That would give us 1,297, just under 1,300 devices just for the junior high, which would bring us pretty much to a one-to-one. And that would be, again, from 4th through 8th grade. So we'd be kind of blending the equipment that we already have and then layering on this extra 1,800 laptops as well as an extra 150 iPads to be able to fulfill that one-to-one from 4th to 5th. And also prepare us for another thing that we began doing, while it's not directly related, it will be impacting, is we've begun a kind of small closed pilot of Google Apps at Hadley. So we've got maybe about a dozen or so teachers that are involved in it right now. And what this will provide for us is a way for students to be able to save their work online. That frees up server space, storage space for us, makes that work available and accessible to our students and staff from anywhere, anytime. And it also kind of alleviates our network stress, and it allows us to utilize the extra bandwidth that we just purchased this year. So as we move forward, next year I'd like to expand upon that pilot even more, so that by the end of the year, we pretty much have every staff member, every student, with an account on Google Apps, and be able to move all of their work off of our local servers up to this cloud storage, which has also been a goal of ours over the last couple of years. So we'll be able to finally start to realize that. And by 14-15, when we are looking at PARC being implemented and that entire test being online, we'll have the equipment to be able to do that. We'll have the equipment to be able to satisfy the PARC testing, as well as still have equipment that can be used for daily instruction. So not all of our technology is monopolized by assessments every day. Mm-hmm. The way this breaks down, contacted a couple vendors to look at pricing, land on a hardware platform that is still going to be robust enough to meet our needs, but still cost effective given the amount of equipment we're looking at. So we landed on a laptop model, an HP laptop model. It's a little bigger. It's about the same size as the laptops you're using right now. So it's sturdy enough to handle the rigors of junior high and grade school students. And final cost on that was $657.89 per unit. Tiger Direct came in a little bit below. Hartford Business Systems. I kind of broke this out by LMC and the classroom laptop, so you can see the breakout there. The total cost of that project would be $1.1 million. This is something that we will, of course, lease. The iPads, the 150, those break down to 10 packs of 10. So 15 packs, so eight pack of 10 iPads is $55.80. Total cost for the 150 iPads would be $83,700. And then we'll also need storage carts. So we kind of struggled a little bit with what kind of solution was best for storage carts. And The mobile cart seemed to fit best and work best for us. So that's going to be our recommendation to move forward with 156 storage carts. This will allow a place to secure them, charge them, and the carts are at least mobile enough that you can get them out of your room, so they're out of, you know, out of your way for regular instruction during the day. And total cost for the storage carts would be $189,212.40. And what we will do is we'll finance this. We'll lease this equipment. The laptops and the iPads will be on a 3-year fair market value lease. So at the end of that lease, the intention is they go away. They go back to the leasing company. The storage carts, on the other hand, we do a 5-year dollar buyout, which means at the end of that, we'll retain them. We'll keep that equipment. We'll continue to use those storage carts for years to come. They should be good for 10 to 20 years before we're going to start to see some real wear and tear on those. So annual lease cost for the laptops would be $377,487 annually. The iPads would be $27,222.73, and the storage carts $39,750. So our annual commitment for the next few years would be $444,459.73. Any questions?
So with this lease, at the end of 3 years, we don't own anything?
We don't own any of the mobile technology, no.
We don't own the iPads, we don't own the computers. I just got to... Is it one-third the cost? What was the total cost of the purchase?
$1.184. So we save a little bit on the dollar, on the fair market value. You don't.
Yeah, but I mean, is it totally depreciated after 3 years? An iPad and the laptop? That's the problem I have with these leases. I can't believe the computers are worthless after 3 years.
Well, it's not so much that they're worthless, but by the end of that 3 years, what you're starting to see is the battery deteriorating, and you're not going to get the same kind of battery life out of it. Not to mention, they've been used by kids for 3 years, so there's just a natural wear and tear that goes along with that. We could extend it into a fourth year. By that fourth year, though, you're going to start looking at some major issues with service and just...
When you say we could extend it into a fourth year, what does that mean?
Well, we turn it into a 4-year fair market value lease. So it would ease the payment a little bit, but by that fourth year, you're going to start to see the wear and tear on that equipment. So I would anticipate we'd see a lot more in the way of replacement, repairs. Another thing that I should mention here, in the past, we'd always gone with 3-year warranties on the equipment. I've not done that moving forward. The first year is under warranty to HP anyway. The remaining years, at this point, we have the staff right now to do that kind of break and fix work. So if we have to replace a display, I have to replace a hard drive, it's just depot service. And for the cost of an annual, for a lease on, or I'm sorry, for the warranty, it was about $75 to $80 per unit. Well, we'll never spend that kind of money on breaks and fix stuff. So we are going to see a little savings based on the warranty. But I think if you're looking at moving to a 4-year lease instead of 3, we'd have to be ready to tolerate that kind of inconsistency with the hardware at that point.
I think the average person doesn't think their computer's worthless after 3 years. I just find it hard.
So you have to remember who's using it, and in an environment which is different than a home environment where it's just in your home. So there is a big difference.
Well, I mean, I travel a lot. That beats up computers endlessly going through airports.
Well, what's the experience right now with the children using
there's some damage.
Current technology? Yeah, give us a feel for that, you know, because I mean, not the same kid is using the same thing every day, right?
Right.
So they're not going to own their one-to-one.
Right, and that is kind of an issue, because right now they share the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
With this proposal, especially at Hadley, you can assign a device to a student, and that's their device. You're going to know who's been using it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next student that gets it and the keys are popped off of it, well, you're going to know who had it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just kind of a mix and match. There's not a lot of accountability, but
yeah.
We see the, you know, the typical keys got popped off, monitor got broken, that sort of thing. A lot of things which are not covered under warranty either.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the biggest concern I have moving into that fourth year with the lease is the battery life, because we're going to be heavily reliant on the batteries being strong enough to get them through the majority of the day without having to plug them in to be recharged or just plug them in to get them to work at all.
For the laptops or for the
iPads? Either one. The iPads in particular, The laptops on these models, we can replace the batteries, but if you're looking ahead to replace 1,650 batteries, I don't know if that really saves you a whole lot of money. Now, one of the things that we can structure with a leasing company, with American Capital, is at the end of these leases, they can do a sale. So basically, they set the price. So let's say, just for sake of argument, they set the price on the iPad at $150. And they could sell that within the district here. We can hold a sale within
the district. Well, that, I guess what I mean, I would think there's some residual value of at least a couple hundred dollars in all this equipment.
Right.
That you basically paid a third of the price over 3 years and gotten nothing for it. Then we're basically
well, we got usage.
Of every year just leasing our technology. And I know we've had computers that have lasted more than 3 years that we've heard about. I just don't think financially this is the best, the most, you get the most value out of it. But I understand it gets wear and tear and things like that. And I don't know if you want a warranty, you're better off just buying 20 extra computers to swap in and out.
Which we do.
Try to repair things.
We build a little bit of cushion in for that just for the hot swappable machine. But one thing that I didn't say about the sale of the lease equipment is if the leasing company sets the price at $150, we can ask for them to set it at $170, and then the $20 per unit would be a profit back to the district. So we could see some money out of that. But the other thing to consider when you retain equipment like this is at some point you got to get rid of it.
Right.
You got to dispose it, and disposing of it isn't always cheap. So there could be a cost involved for us on the back end to have to dispose of all of this. And having gone through that with about 2 tons worth of desktops and monitors not that long ago, you know.
What was the cost of that, Mike?
The first rollout we did, we filled two big storage
lockers. I don't need to compare CRTs to laptops.
No, correct. But I mean, but we filled two storage lockers. It was literally 2 tons of equipment. And I believe it was about $2,000 to have that replaced and taken away. And we were just getting started. I mean, that was just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your costs to retain this stuff can also kind of get you on the back end when you're looking at disposing of it as well. Not to mention, after 5-6 years, they are totally useless. I mean, they're just not going to be anything somebody's going to want to buy.
You know, Steve, I think one of the things that, well, Steve and Drew and Dan, one of the things that the 3-year lease allows to occur, and I mean, I understand what you're saying in terms of spend a lot of money.
Well, I'm just saying face value, it seems, that they're making out pretty well.
Right.
Getting all this equipment back after 3 years, granted, it might be good, but yeah, I mean, I always see all the time, you know, leasing companies selling equipment, but they're selling it for a couple $100.
Right.
And
in right.
3 years, you're in a financial crunch. Too bad. You got to get up with the next lease. You can't extend it another year because you only.
And this particular recommendation is just to get us through the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's tiered. This isn't every computer in the district.
Right. And when I, in my presentation later tonight, I'll talk about the Hadley, what we're going to do at Hadley in the next year. So for next year, Hadley is really where you're going to see this boom of technology, this real one to one. And we can phase that in with the equipment that we have. But when you're talking about 1,200 students, all of them having a device, we'd have to look at some kind of a bring-your-own-device model, even for our teaching staff. But we can also look at changing that leasing structure to be more of a dollar buyout lease, where maybe the student or the family of that student buy the laptop at the end of their 3 years at Hadley, and it becomes theirs, and it doesn't become our responsibility. So we will look at other options for how we're going to finance and sustain this level of equipment. This is just a recommendation to kind of get us through that next 3 years, because after 3 years, the face of technology here is going to change pretty dramatically, and what it's going to look like, and then how we sustain that. So those will be more conversations that we have next year when we start really looking at that 14-15 one-to-one at Hadley. And it will look very different than this.
Yeah, and the only other thing I would say is it seems we always see Tiger Direct and Heartland. I mean, I'd like to see somebody else in the mix once in a while just to...
Well,
they kind of know they're always bidding each other. Sometimes they may see all these and kind of split them off.
Well, as long as we stay with HP equipment, and at this point, not quite ready to jump ship on HP, but both vendors are working through the same rep at HP.
Okay.
So that pricing is pretty much the state pricing that everybody's going to get. And I can work them against each other to get a few dollars off per unit, but we're not going to see a significant savings if I go to a different number.
Mm-hmm.
because everybody's working through the same state
consortium. Everybody's working off the same state contract, so they're seeing the same costs. It just kind of comes down to, well, what are their overheads and how much do they need to make on that equipment? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean moving forward we're going to stay with the AP, or we're not going to be looking at a multiple of different devices that we're going to support based on a bring-your-own-device sort of model. So this recommendation will give us and give our staff this opportunity to have a kind of one-to-one relationship in the classrooms, get comfortable with it, but I wouldn't expect this to be our model for the next 12 years either.
Okay. Well, that's good enough. Like I said, it's kind of just face value, and I mean, that's the way everyone's doing it.
Well, I mean, a lot of the equipment we have gotten extra life out of.
Yeah.
I mean, in the labs, for instance, last year we replaced the lab computers with the old desktops that we had in the classrooms, and those we did hang on to. Those we did have on a dollar buyout, so we kept those. And we've had those in service for 8 years. I mean, the old ones were in service, and now the new ones. The other thing that I failed to mention is the labs will essentially go away as labs as we know them. Those spaces will be repurposed for other things and give us at least a little bit more real estate in our buildings to be able to utilize.
Now, are you getting Windows XP on these machines?
No, they'll be 7.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be 7, and we're going to also bump up to Office 2010. Can't get support for XP.
Mike, can you go back to the summary slide you had?
The last one?
The device summary.
The allocation?
Yeah. So it says you're taking 550 elementary laptops, moving to Hadley, you have 1,100. So you already have 550?
We have 550 netbooks.
Netbooks, okay.
That we purchased 2 years ago. We've got one more year on that lease. We'll move over the 550 laptops, which we still have 2 years on the lease. So when we get to 14-15, the netbooks are going to have to go away anyhow. The laptops will keep for another year. So we'll have that 550, and then we start looking at the bring-your-own-device model, see what the buy-in from our parents is for that, and then be able to better set a number for what we're going to look at for devices that we'll go through. Mm-hmm. Now, and I wouldn't anticipate there'll also be full-blown laptops either that we would move forward with. It may be a tablet device. It may be something that really just needs to get on the Internet. Right now, we're still kind of in that middle where we're bridging. We've still got locally installed programs that we still need to run. So we need something powerful enough to do that. So as we move forward to basically doing all of our work online with programs like Google Apps, then you're not going to need as much horsepower. The only thing we have to keep in mind is it needs to be a device that's part compliant. And the big factor there is just the screen resolution. It needs to at least have a big enough screen to be able to display the test. And most devices can fulfill that.
What's the minimum resolution?
Well, it's about a 10-inch screen, as they're looking. Anything under that, it's not going to work. So your phone's not going to work, an iPad Mini's not going to work, but anything above that.
1024 by 768.
By 768. Right. It's going to need that kind of resolution. Anything else?
How would they take the park assessment without a one-to-one model?
We'd have to rotate carts through. We'd either have to rotate carts through or we'd have to rotate students through the labs. It's pretty much how we've been doing map testing for the last several years. But this is a much more intense test.
And they're talking, at least at this point, which could change given the scope of the test, 8 to 9 hours per student.
And that would be in two rounds, correct? Mm-hmm. So one at, I think it's a third of the way through the school year, and then another one in the spring. So those are two big windows. Mm-hmm. And I think they said we had 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
So there's some restrictions that are built in.
Well, there's some challenges.
Challenges. I wouldn't say restrictions. That's the wrong word. But there's some parameters built in for how the test is done and then how the technology can either help or hinder that. Is what you're saying?
Right. And I get something from the ROE at least weekly about park and about where they're at and what the standards are, particularly for technology. So we've been following that closely.
That's good to know.
Anything else?
I, just as a, this is kind of a preview of what Mike will be presenting, you know, in his presentation, which will be his three-year plan. So we talked about getting the cart before the horse, but we know we want to have this come forward, and so you're getting kind of a sneak preview to what we'll give an overview for during the board meeting.
And we'll really only have this 1 year to prepare for PARC. So we got started now. Thanks.
Well, I gotta believe there's some districts that can't afford this and figure something out.
No, and they'll do the rotation of labs. The dynamic that we experience even with MAP is high levels of complaint that access to technology is taken away while you do MAP testing. And so that's why many of our schools, well, all of our elementary schools and some of our junior high classrooms started practicing this year doing MAP in their classroom. And in order to not take, you know, basically an eight-week period out of the school year for students to have access, this is a direction. But you're right, there'll be other districts that won't be able to afford that. We feel pretty fortunate.
And Allie's actually been doing it for the LA classes for the last couple of years. So since they've had the netbooks, they've been doing the MAP testing in their room, which has been a great practice session for them, because moving forward, it's really not going to be an option.
Well, the other feedback we heard too, and I think this might have been at CLC because this came up at the end, it's a good question, is the also the ability for the student, whether it's in elementary or junior high, to be in a less restrictive, seating, et cetera, in terms of taking the MAP assessments. The teachers found that they felt like their students were less stressed. Who was the teacher at Ben Franklin? I'm blanking on her name. Fourth grade.
Sarah
Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about kind of assessing that, you know, winter or fall, and then having them use their devices that she set up for the winter, and just this sense that the kids felt like they had a little bit more control instead of going to the lab, sitting there, et cetera. So there's a programmatic piece to this. At least that's what I've heard a little bit coming from CIT.
Mm-hmm. Lincoln, Katie Jakowski, has been doing the same thing.
Has she?
She just has the kids scatter out and sit on a beanbag chair or whatever you're comfortable in.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to feel like they're more relaxed, more confident. It's a much mm-hmm. easier experience for any student mm-hmm. rather than marshaling them all into the labs. And these are devices they're going to use every day. So mm-hmm. students will be very comfortable with that. It wouldn't be this foreign experience anymore. So Lishi's has been very positive about that.
Mm-hmm. And didn't all of Churchill do spring MAP testing?
I don't know about
almost,
all of them.
Almost,
all,
almost
did.
All of them did spring MAP testing mm-hmm. in their rooms.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, we were rotating cards for mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks for
asking
questions.
The next order of business then this evening will be the 2013 furniture bid results. As you know, this is the third year of implementation of the 21st century classroom concept at the elementary schools. When we finish this year, we'll have 32 classrooms district-wide, 8 at each building. On February 28th, we went out to bid. They were due back on March 22nd. We received received packets back from 7 different vendors. When we structured this this bid packet, we wanted to go out to get as much buying power as we can, and we believe that we've achieved that. We did have it. I have it summarized in sort of 4 different sections here. Bid results for the K-5 implementation of the 21st century classrooms. That came back at $213,237 and change, and it was originally estimated to cost approximately $297,500. The second statement or paragraph here, this is where we bid the Hadley LMC project. We originally estimated that to cost approximately $150,000, and that came back $135,963. Again, this is all information that you've seen previously as we sort of built up this process, first for the 21st Century Classrooms and then the Hadley LMC. This was part of the whole process that we presented to the Finance Committee and to Board as we were presenting these proposals.
Bob, you know, we get a table or something. Who is it?
You know, Dan, it's so big. We've got seven vendors, like four columns for each vendor, so I thought I would summarize it. That's why you don't have it here in front of you. I would say the primary winners, if you will, or the primary low bidders were Lowry McDonald, who we've done business with for years, as well as Frank Cooney. They probably have about 90% of the bid, maybe 95% of the bid. There were some very few items that were bid by a few other contractors, but they're so insignificant, and I didn't want to take the chance of, if I give a particular vendor three or four or five items, whether it's a lot of significant business to him, I need all this stuff to come in and have it coordinated as we're putting it into the buildings, as we're putting it into the Hadley LMC, as well as we're rolling it out into the steam labs in the buildings. So there are... They are going to get the lion's share of the bid. That'll be my recommendation. There are a couple of things on there that we actually could not get from sort of the bigger players on there, and those are more local outfits where we have some small purchases we need to do.
So there isn't value in this case in splitting up the bid, in part because of the way it you have to roll it out?
I'll tell you what. What I did was took last year's pricing and rolled it out for 24 classrooms. So just for the 21st century, we estimated it at $297, and it came in at $213. So I would leave that up to, I would say that's attributable to the fact that we bid so much equipment that it bought us some buying power. Because when I went back and checked the prices, sort of line by line, we're buying things cheaper this year than we did last year. The third item here is implementation of the steam labs at the K-5 level. We have estimated this expenditure at approximately $100,000, and this came in back at $77,964. And then we had other purchases, just general things that the principals request on an annual basis. We included this in a bid packet, and that came back to $12,522. Overall, we estimated these expenditures originally at $556,200, and the cost came back at $439,688. Additional information includes approximately $1,400 per classroom, and again, we'll be doing 24 classrooms, 32 classrooms this summer with regards to carpeting for an additional cost of $44,800. We'll be bringing this back to the board for discussion on April 29th and then for action and approval at the May 13th meeting. Are there any questions?
I'm trying to do this whole thing. So the furniture is $439, but the carpeting is $44.8. So if I have that together, I have a total for...
Right.
The carpeting is $1,400 a classroom, or $44,800. And we'll purchase that off of the E&I contract that we utilized last year, and that's where nationally vendors go out to bid for all different types of furniture, supplies, materials, and everything else. And we sort of piggyback off of that contract. So we'll be getting their best pricing.
I would be curious to see, you know, if you do a spreadsheet on some of that steam items to see what that looks like.
Sure.
Yes.
Can you describe again what's in the steam rooms?
Sure. I bet you Karen's not behind me.
Well, for next year, we're looking at predominantly furniture.
That's
changes
correct.
That, and then some of the technology that will be purchased next year will determine how to use that in those rooms.
So what is the steam lab going to look like? It will not be desk and chairs. Mm-hmm. It will be tables. They'll be working at four or six student tables. They're a little bit higher than normal. They won't be where you're going to sit down in sort of a normal chair. They'll be at a little bit higher chair that the kids can move up and down and accommodate differences in heights. but they will not be your standard desk that you'll work at. There'll be tables. There'll be tables around the peripheral of the classroom, and then in the center there'll be planning or working stations. We have two that will be round in the center of each building or each classroom, and then two that are more, I believe, rectangular. Mm-hmm. So you'll have stations where the kids will actually sit at and probably do the majority of their work, but then in the center of the classroom they'll be having stations where they'll be doing group projects and work together.
Kind of spread out areas.
Yeah, where they can do a piece of something or whatever.
Yeah, the intention is flexibility, movability, have the kids moving around and flowing throughout the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Any other questions on that?
And then what's the total number of rooms we've done now? Because I can't add it up.
We will.
Where are we with all the buildings?
We could finish this in 2 years. So in the report it says 3 years. That would be including this year. So I need two more years to be able to complete this rollout at the elementary level.
Halfway done.
Yeah, I think it's just round numbers. We have 120 elementary school classrooms. We're at 60 or thereabouts. Okay. Alrighty, the next order of business then this evening is the 2013 summer painting projects. On February 28th, we went out to bid, and those bids were returned on March 22nd. We had five contractors participate in that bid process, and the low bid came back from Bill's Painting at $118,580. This is the same contractor that we used last year. This will not be the contractor that will be doing the painting in the LMC. This is everything else outside of the LMC, including the cafeteria, pods, gyms. So the gyms will get a fresh coat of paint, ceilings, walls, everything in there. I was very surprised at the way at the price that this came back at, $118,000, just because of the square footage of the building. I was estimating it would come back around $200,000 originally. Mm-hmm. So I think we got a pretty decent price here.
This is Kevin Cosgrove's not.
I just thought the same thing.
Yeah. I looked at that. No, I didn't.
Works in
that. He's left risk management and gone into painting.
So we had no problems with this vendor for last year. You're very happy with
them. Oh yeah, I tell you what, they came back. They worked with us. I mean, we worked together very well. They came back. The buildings were done 3 or 4 weeks before school opened. I will tell you, it's going to be a challenge at Hadley this summer with all the work going on in there. But we feel as though we can manage it, and we meet with our contractors during the summer every Monday morning, and it's our intention to get that, that space open. We don't have a lot of choice in the matter. Just to give you an update, we met with the contractor last week on the Hadley LMC. We're scheduled for August 5th for substantial completion in that space, and we would look for the same thing right about the first week of August with the painting contractor. So we'd like to get everybody out of there so we can have a week or two to get the place clean to our standards. Mike will have a couple weeks to do his technology work in there, and that's where we're standing right now. So the plan is to bring this back to the board for discussion on April 29th and then May 13th for action. And again, I thought we got some really nice pricing here. Any questions? Okay, then the next order of business and the final order of business this evening is the update employee medical and dental insurance plan renewal. We, back in late March, I believe it was March 22nd or March 20th, all the member districts of the EBC cooperative were brought together and the renewal rates were presented to us. We feel as though this is a very good renewal for us, certainly better than what our history had seen over the past several years prior to joining this cooperative. We also noticed that the board of the EBC cooperative took the initiative to buy down rates, in some cases as much as 2%. So just to run you through, as you know, we have essentially three medical plans. We have the PPO plan. We have an HMO Illinois and an HMO Blue Advantage, and I'll speak specifically to the PPO benefit plan. The average loss ratio for the group as a whole was 91%, which would have generated a 3.4% increase. The board took the initiative to buy down those rates by approximately or by 2.1%. So our renewal for the PPO plans are coming back up at, with a 1.3% increase. Okay.
But they're buying it down. So what does that mean?
What's that mean?
I mean, I know what it means, but
they're using their reserves.
They collected too many. Yeah. I mean, the reserves is from the premiums you normally pay, right? There's no extra membership to use.
No. It's they've got to maintain reserves in case of a very bad year to be able to continue funding their programs. But they've taken the initiative over the past couple or 3 years, really, that we've seen is that they're not accumulating excess funds and are using those reserves to buy down any increases in premiums or significant increases in premiums.
So they can lower their feel their reserves are in excess.
You know, that's...
Because otherwise, these rates increases themselves aren't that much. So then you're like, well, why would you buy it now? I mean, it's not like...
No.
They have significant reserves, too, I think, and they are looking to give those back into the co-op.
Right.
The co-op has performed very well beyond maybe their expectation as well, and so I think it's annually they look at how can we give back to the co-op. Right.
They do, and the board are folks made up like Lori and I from school districts. They're business managers, a director of human resources, and they're very conscious of the financial situation of school districts today, and so they take very seriously their responsibilities to provide affordable medical coverage for their employee groups. And it's a pretty significant group with 15,000 lives to insure out there. So they get some pretty nice renewals. Again, this is under averages that are being experienced by those out in industry, and then for the board to take the initial, the extra or additional initiative to buy down the rates, I thought was a nice nice presentation for
school
us.
School board members eligible to join?
I don't know that they've been explicitly excluded. You mean to join the co-op? Oh, I thought you meant to sit on the board.
These rates are better.
Yeah.
Better than the ones.
Run for the DuPage Forest Reserve Corps, and you'll get paid and full pension.
The township? Do they get out?
And health insurance.
The township people? So.
No, not the township. Forest Reserve.
Dan's political aspirations in the middle of the meeting. would you describe loss ratio again? I ask you this every year, so I thought ask it again.
Basically, it's the amount of premium collected versus the amount paid out in claims. So when we were fully insured on our own, they were targeting a loss ratio for us for kind of a flat renewal or a zero-sum renewal at 85%. Okay. So our loss ratio was 91% within the cooperative. Because it's so big, we aren't going to have the impact that we would have had if we were insured on our own.
Right.
Without a history, did they give us an initial assumption when we joined? What was it?
I can't remember what our initial rate increase was when we went in. I want to say it was around 6.
No?
I don't remember what it was. I'd have to look back.
It was double digits.
No.
I don't think so.
The HMO was double digits, but I don't think the PPO was double digits our first year when we made that transfer over.
Okay. Well, I can go back and review the presentation.
Good
information again.
From a comparative standpoint, they shared with us what trend is. Trend for medical, for PPO is 7.1, for HMO it's 7.1, and for dental it's 6.1. So.
And trends meaning industry wide?
Industry trend. And it's great news.
HMO was still higher.
Why do they still use HMO? And if you look, it's only like $100 cheaper a month. So, I heard a story 10 years ago where there was a plan to eventually do away with HMOs because they thought that the premium rates would kind of become very close, so it wouldn't be really a great savings for people to go out and purchase HMO plans. Funny how it's happening,
right?
10 years later. Right.
An individual might choose an HMO because there's no cash out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just paying your premiums, and then you can, as long as you stay within the rules of the HMO, there's no deductibles, no coinsurance, no. So from, again, depending on the family, you know, you get all your well baby and all your, you know, sports, all your physicals, you know, so there's, that's a personal choice. So when you're looking at cash out of pocket, that could be one of the deciding factors as to why an employee would choose that.
Dan, I have HMO. That's because when we had younger kids, there were broken bones. Something was going on every year, and we just found it that to be about the most affordable way for us to manage our health care. And as Phil has said, just so long as you learn how to navigate through their system, it's you can save yourself some decent money as a family. So that was the renewal for the PPO for HMO. The EBC loss ratio for HMO came at 93.2%, which would indicate a premium renewal of 7.2%. The board took the initiative to buy down rates 2.1%, so the average rate increase for the cooperative for HMO is going to be 5.1%. And because our ratio was a little bit below the average, we actually are going to receive a rate increase of 4.1%.
Do we have different monthly premiums for the two?
Yes, for HMO PPO and HMO Blue Advantage. There are different premiums by employee group, single.
P plus C, employee plus child, employee plus spouse, family, and then the two different, there's a rate for, the splits are different between the two, you know,
the two HMOs.
Yeah.
This is similar to last year, because I remember there was one year where we were thrilled because we were in a difficult financial year anyway, and we really
I would say
did
this
well.
Is a year we're,
and this
we're very
too,
happy
yeah.
with this renewal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah. Let's highlight that tonight.
We didn't.
Well, we won't be.
We won't be bringing this to the full board, though we can, if you like, because it's information only. We're not asking for approval for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could bring it to the full board. I was planning on just sharing this board report in my Thursday letter mm-hmm. for all of the boards.
I'm not in the finance committee. Just
I think you get it in the public record. Put it in.
Well, it's on it's in the public record here. In
I was saying if you do a. Do one of the superintendent reports.
Okay.
It's kind of an end of the year thing.
Yeah, I think that's a better idea.
Okay.
We'll
do that on the 29th.
Talks about dental and plan.
I'm sorry.
Isn't there something more self-insured?
Dental was.
It was.
We rolled this into ABC 2 years ago. Last year.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
So that's part. The dental plan is part of the EBC cooperative now also. Mm-hmm. And the average dental loss ratio came in at 88.3%, which would indicate a rate of an increase of 1.8%. And we were significantly under that at 79.1. But our EBC rate for our dental plan will be a 1.8% increase to premium. So, any questions on that?
There's the new health care law. If you take in a certain percentage of money, you got to return it. I mean, is EDC following with that?
Well, once those laws come into play, we'll have to make sure that we're all operating in accordance with that.
Mm-hmm. I know we attend meetings twice a year, and there's always they have a presentation on what's coming up in terms of national health care. There are several webinars, training seminars, and so forth. So I would say that they do a good job of keeping us appraised of what to expect short and long-term future for health care reform.
Which, of course, gets built into our projections at that point.
Yeah. So I have just one other comment to make. Because of proposed changes in the lunch program, at Churchill and Ben Franklin, I have been asked to take out to bid cafeteria tables. They'll be going from two full sessions of lunch, I believe, down to one lunch, so we're going to need some additional seating in there. So the principals asked me to take that out to bid. It is currently out to bid. I did not go through the the normal three-step process, because this kind of came to us at the last minute, if you will, and that is out to bid now. I will be bringing you the results of that bid on April 29th.
Is that Churchill and who else?
Ben Franklin.
I thought Churchill was at three.
Three lunch periods. They're going down to one, moving it over to the... they'd like to, I shouldn't say they are, they'd like to move it over to the gym, get it all into one. It will accommodate the block schedule much better to have just one. You won't have an interrupted either STEAM block or literacy block.
So it should also pull seamlessly with our way we change and compensate the lunchtime supervisors.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nice
absolutely.
Reminder.
The other thing is that, you know, some of the, particularly at Franklin, we were already in need of repairing or replacing the tables that are in the MFP. And so those will be removed. We won't be replacing those. And we'll just keep the ones that are in there that are still.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, we went out to bid for, we updated the cafeteria tables over at Churchill. Mm-hmm. And what we've been doing is sort of scavenging what was left. That we had left at Churchill and using it because it was the same system over at Ben Franklin. Mm-hmm. That system's in pretty bad shape, and I was going to roll it, let it stay out there for another year or so, but principals asked me to take a look at it, so we did take it out of the bid.
Mm-hmm. What's your estimated cost?
$100,000. Mm-hmm. Could be as much as that.
Now, is that for all the table or is that for school?
That would be for all of them. I'm going to say 100, 110. When I did, when we did Churchill a couple years ago, it came back at about $52,000,
$54,000. Okay.
We just thought to get the process, you know, it still gives the board the option in the three-step process of whether they're going to approve actually installing these, but mm-hmm. get the bid, find out what we're actually dealing with in terms of cost. Mm-hmm.
Will breakfast be... held communally or at Churchill or in classrooms?
Classrooms. It'll be set up in the lunchroom, wherever that is. Mm-hmm. And students, actually, that's not true. It will be set up in the multipurpose room at Churchill, regardless. And then students will come in and pick up their breakfast and take it to their classrooms with them.
Mm-hmm. Is that moving forward?
Pardon me?
I've never seen a blurb somewhere about
that. The federal lunch program, which we are part of, requires when you hit a 40% poverty rate that you must give free and reduced students a breakfast option.
And is it on a school basis?
It's on a school-by-school basis, though we will, after in it's not limited to just free and reduced students, so paying students could also participate. But we'll start it at Churchill next year and see how it goes, and then determine at that point whether we're going to open it up.
What time are they?
10 to 9. They'll come in. They'll pick up their... Whenever they enter the building, whatever time each school, you know, each school is maybe a little bit different, but they'll come in, go to the cafeteria, pick up their breakfast, and head to their classroom to eat before the homeroom activities conclude.
Also,
maybe
in
that
first hour or
no? About 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most. And it's, you know, it's a little package.
It has a grain, it has a dairy, so they'll have milk. And then within the package, there's a grain and a fruit and like a Go-Gurt and a grain. And there's three things there. Mm-hmm. No, the grain, the fruit, and the
protein.
The protein, right. And she'll find non-perishable things that can be packaged in there other than the milk. And then so they'll grab the milk and they'll grab the pouch and they go up.
It's not totally non-perishable. At least my samples,
right.
Which I ate all of them.
Right.
I'm free to eat breakfast mornings.
They're non-perishable to the point where we don't have to refrigerate them.
Right.
At site.
Mm-hmm.
Or to hold them at site overnight.
Right.
So
they get dropped off.
They'll get dropped off the afternoon before. You know, we have a whole routine going here.
But the piece that I think, you know, struck me when we got this is that now Churchill is now at 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there, though, is it legislative or something? There was a discussion about, you know, it seems like it's once you're in versus there some periodic checking to make sure.
You maintain your status at 40%?
Well, no, for the people.
An individual?
An individual.
Oh, yeah.
That's not through yet. That's not done yet. Once you're in, you're in for the year.
Yeah.
Each year is a new application process, and you're either direct certified by the state because of all the programs that you're actively involved in, or you actually do a paper process. But the paper process has to be done every year, and somebody could actually fall off the direct certified process again if they're no longer receiving the services from the state. So it is a year-to-year thing.
Year. Okay.
But once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
Except for that 30-day window. You have that every year, everybody who did a paper application this year automatically gets a 30-day extension into the new year until they file the new piece of paper, and then they either fall off or they continue. So, but they that hasn't changed yet that we can do any kind of like backtracking.
Yeah.
There's a verification process, but it's only 3% of our sample, which came out to be 9 students that we were able to sample this year and ask them for documentation of their income.
So a little more, not just filling out form, but a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had to
government, IRS, old W-2s, or something.
Right. They had to give us documentation of the income that we put on that application form, and if it didn't match, then you're able to remove it from the program. We didn't remove any of the 9. So, but that's how when you have that many eligible. Some of which are direct certified, which you can't sample, the verification becomes 3% of the error prone.
And for the breakfast, I apologize if you had this in the notes that we got. Was there a net cost to that?
No, I didn't have a net cost. I don't know that we know what the net cost will be for that, because we don't know how many students will participate, and we don't know how many students will opt in to pay.
Right.
So it would be impossible to know what we'll end up paying based on the number of free and reduced lunches that are taken.
But it's all, if it was all free.
Mm-hmm. And every kid took it?
Yeah, and every kid, the government. I mean, do they only kick in for the number of kids that take it?
Right. It's the breakfast claim is the exact same claim process as the lunch claim. We filed the number of students who actually got meals in the month and what status they're in. If they're free or reduced or paid status, and then there's a value for each lunch that the state, that the national government, national school lunch program reimburses us. So it's based on the number of meals served, and the breakfast program is the exact same way. It's just got different values attached to it. It's not the same dollar value as a lunch value because it's not the same kind of lunch, same kind of meal.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay, then we'll close this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, and we'll pick it up at 7:30. Thank you.